For the players.
And I'm Paul James.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as position podcast with over 50 years in this game's being combined and like, I don't know, a bunch of time playing PlayStation. No, we've been doing this for fucking so long. Let's start that again because I forgot it immediately. God, no. You know what? Screw it. Let's go. Let's keep going with it. I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
This is For The Players, the pop culture position podcast over 50 years of playing PlayStation and like 20-something years in this game being combined. I thank you for joining us in this position conversation. Now, Paul, you don't normally know this part, so... This position conversation happens every Monday, every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join, chat with us, check all the social medias, the links in the description below. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We watch us record this show live where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this position pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Man, we got there in the end. Had to take a couple goes at it, but we got there. Hey!
Come on now.
You got it.
Went and picked it up yesterday, so.
How are you feeling about it? Are you happy with it?
I mean, I haven't used it. Like,
I just
remembered to go get out of the car before the show.
Nice, yeah.
Along with what I finally set up beforehand, which will be visible in the background.
Oh.
The ghost mask.
Wow.
Which, for a little bit of context for everyone, there's an unboxing. It's on the Player 2 YouTube channel. I only went live today because I was a little bit traumatized around the whole thing. I recorded it, and I've got one. I don't know how much is visible here in my little box, but I've got available. But I've got like a little desk. It extends out. Betson, you'll be able to see it. I'm mm-hmm. sure the viewers can't, but it retracts out. And I had everything here when I did my unboxing, and everything was nice and, you know, nicely balanced. And then the kids walked in straight, like literally seconds after I finished recording the unboxing for it. They barged in. Dogs came piling in behind it. Mask was sitting up in a nice precarious spot that was totally fine while I was recording.
Yeah.
Mask hits the deck. Mask shatters into like three big pieces, as well as a whole bunch of little fragments. Shout out to Mum, who's an absolute rock star with super glue.
Mum.
I certainly do not. Mum sorted this one out for me.
What a ledge, man. So,
props to her. She's got it up and running, and now I'll stop messing with the shot and I'll sit back in front of her.
That's all good. No, but because, you know, as you know, you are a big fan of the collector's editions. You do like having them up on display. You know, I love it. It's good.
And I'm not a pretend fan like you.
That's also very, very true. But speaking of ghosts, so we can't touch into what I've been playing, however, because we'll get there shortly. But look, I want to put it out there. My lovely partner, Phoebe, she joined us last week. She had a great conversation with both you and Max about Ghost of Yotei and her experience. Well, this weekend, Max. I had a busy weekend. We'll get to that in a second. But so is she. I got a lovely message when I was out and about yesterday being like, hey, got credits. And there's a picture of the tally with the credits for Ghost of Yotei. Fucking well done to Phoebe. Absolutely well done. Big claps all around. Big claps. But you know what makes it even better, Patch? And I know that it'll be nice for you. You know what her next plan is?
Hang on.
It's not a game.
Oh, it's not a game.
No, it's getting that platinum, sir.
Oh, good.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I was going, okay, Horizon, Tsushima.
Well, because that's the next thing, right? So I was thinking about this earlier. Probably now's a good time to chat about it before we get into all the other bits. Is that she has just now rolled credits on Ghost of Yotei. Like, I was thinking to myself, like, what could be her next experience, right? I do want to support her in getting the platinum. I think that I may even come in and help chip out some of the trophies. But I'm also...
Has she got her own account? Like,
this is all on mine.
She's playing on yours?
She's playing on mine, but that's where I'm kind of like, I want her to get the plat. But I also would, you know, if she had her own account, that'd be cool, because then she would have record of it and it wouldn't be like, you know, connected to me. So I imagine it may not feel as like punchy, like not on her own account.
Yeah, I follow.
But yeah, so then I was thinking like, well, what could her next next game be? I think Horizon is a good choice.
I'm stalking now because I was like, I'm going to see where she's at in terms of trophy percentage.
How's she looking?
Your account is active right now playing Ghost of Yotake.
Yes! What a ledge. I'm so proud. So proud.
Also, 65%. That's good shit.
Oh, man. She really only has a couple to chip off. Like,
I'm at 52. I'm a mile behind.
Oh, get sucked in. There's like one or two that are connected to like people she hasn't met yet. I think it's only one, actually. Yep. Then there's, you know, take out all the camps, collect all the bamboo thingies. Like, it's mostly just the go around and explore
the world.
Ticking
all the boxes now, see the world.
Which is luckily, at least my assumption is for her, is that she's, you know, happy to do this. Because the one of the big things she enjoys is the world and the exploring. And to her credit, she, you know, I asked my, hey, how'd it go? And she hasn't told me all the story beats, which I appreciate. But no, I asked, you know, like, was it an emotional ending? She goes, yeah, it really was. I'm like, cool. I love that.
Max is in the chat suggesting that the next game needs to be Elden
the
Ring. The
next game is not Elden Ring. But then again, could be. But no difficulty slider does make that a challenge. So, look, I know Phoebe's watching, as she kindly does. Well, she's got...
Maybe, as she should be.
She has maybe on the phone. Or at least she's given
Ignore
us a preview.
Go play Ghost.
So, let's have a speculate. What could be the next game for her? So now, with the understanding of, you know, she likes cool world adventure, like, so Horizon was on that list for me. I did consider maybe Horizon.
So Horizon, like, is a nice logical one. I would suggest Tsushima unless she is concerned that it might create a bit of burnout.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I also don't want to detract her from this gaming experience because, like, as I said, I don't know, I've said it a couple of times now. Like, I am so fucking genuinely proud. So, like, I'm hoping that this is something that goes on a bit more and that she finds another game she connects to. And next thing you know, she's, you know, really into the world. Like, yeah, because I think there's new cool things, cool experiences and stories for her to dick about in. It would make it fun.
Dare I suggest, because it's not really a Ryan Betson game, but dare I suggest something like Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh.
It's in Remake, so it's nice and accessible. Like, yeah. It's far more action-centric. You can still slow things down. You've got difficulty sliders. It's also one of the most acclaimed narratives in video games. Be, you know, really cool perspective to bring to it as someone who's pretty new to the whole thing. Again, we'll kick you out of the chair to get her to sit down and talk to us to myself and Max all about it. Okay, that could be a cool slightly left center one.
Excuse me.
And might be an outlet for you to even
Because I had played Final Fantasy VII Remake. I got up into the Colosseum or whatever.
Oh yeah, Donkey Kong.
Yeah. So I got up to that and I enjoyed it. And then I think I just got something distracted by something else. I certainly didn't hate the experience. I quite enjoyed my time with Final Fantasy. It could be of interest to her. It would help her learn pretty quickly whether JRPGs are within her space as well. My next thought was, seeing as some of the things she really took out of the Ghost of Yotai was like the world and like the history and like that side of it. So my next consideration was maybe one of the new Assassin's Creeds. Because I asked him, like, you know, what would you be more interested in? Egypt, Greece, or Viking. So, Viking would be interesting. So, maybe Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but the downside is that game is dense as all fuck.
And it never ends.
It never ends. There's always shit to do, which is dangerous. Max in the chat jumps in and goes, a new Assassin's Creed could overwhelm her. I was thinking Assassin's Creed, knowing how she played Yotai. Exactly. So that's kind of the thought that I was thinking. Now, we should mention Max not joining us this evening due to timing. We are recording a little bit later than we normally do, solely on my fault. so he's had to bounce out, but he's joining through the chat. So Well, if even those you listening at home, be sure to let us know, comments below, or hit us up on socials on what some of the potential recommendations that you think she might enjoy. Even if we give her like a selection, and she's like, yeah, that one, or she might even go fuck all this list and play what she wants, which is also
Phoebe
cool too.
Maybe can go lead us finally down the path of Yakuza like a podcast.
Oh right? My god! Imagine if she jumps in Yakuza with us. That would be a laugh.
I mean, don't say with us. That would require us to actually finally pull our fingers out and start the game.
Yeah, that'd be true. But, yeah.
2026, maybe.
Uncharted could be a little switch up as well. Ooh. Go from, like, a sword combat to, you know, some pistol cover base. Go, you know, jump into the Nathan Drake collection, get you 1, 2, 3. Because, like, what that's the other thing as well. Like, but then again, that's the same concern we have about Yotai, right? Is that she doesn't want to get burnout. So, like, while we then go, hey, here's Uncharted, there's 4 of them, possibly 5
The advantage of those is like, and I mean, how many hours you put into Yotei so far?
Over 50 at this point.
That's all, you could fit all 4 Uncharteds into that.
That is true, you could. You really could.
Plus Lost Legacy. Yeah. Probably go toss Golden Abyss in on the Vita as well.
Oh, man. I've never finished that one, so the only one I haven't done.
Makes me sad.
But yeah, there's a potential, a couple little things for her that may be of interest. But of course, it is entirely up to her. It is her thing. But Matt, Padge almost got to the default there of saying, Max, Jesus Christ, you can tell I've been doing
this. You've
done
it once
so
already,
long.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, have I really? That's embarrassing for me. But what have you been up to, Padge? How's things?
Just keeping busy. As we kind of alluded to last week, this week was kind of like grand final week within my teaching scene. My year 12s went off and did their first exam on Friday. And by the time this goes to air, they will have already done their second one for me, and I will be done for the year.
Wow.
When it comes
to all
of my year
12 stuff.
Big congrats to all
of them, because year 12 is fucking hard as enough as it is.
Yeah. They did their first one Friday. Obviously, yeah, we're recording this before they...
Sorry, Max jumped in and said Red Dead. Now, I've been wanting to, like, I've never finished Red Dead 2. I've played it like 14 times, and I get further every time, but I always start from the scratch for some reason. So Red Dead 1 could be an option, and then lead into Red Dead 2, because I think, I don't know, she may be into some rootin' tootin' cowboy shooting. Like, she does have a strong love for Yellowstone.
Oh, okay.
So maybe
propensity for some westerns.
Yeah. 14 times, like 14 is a random number I pulled out of my ass mute, but like it has been several. It's like 4 or 5. No, play 2 first. Yeah, actually that might work. Red Dead could be it.
Nah, go back, play 1 then 2. Just I know it's like out of sequence narrative wise, but it would be hard to go back to 1 through a gameplay lens.
That is very
known
true.
Two first.
But that's on the presumption she then wants to play another one, right?
Well,
she
there's that. Yeah, assuming it goes well, of course.
Exactly.
sorry,
you were saying.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, so they did their first one and came out and like they were overwhelmingly positive about how it went.
Awesome.
Which was a relief because we get the exam about half an hour after they go in, and you frantically start working out the answers for it so that you can give them some feedback on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
For them to
So you have to sit the exam as well, essentially.
I essentially sit the exam every year. Like, I'm opting into it, but because, like, there's a lot of subjects where they'll just do one exam and that's it.
Yeah, but math is two.
But maths is two. So, like, if they fuck a few things up or whatever in the first one, there's an opportunity for me to give them some feedback that they can use to improve themselves going into the second one. So, yeah. So that first exam in particular, like, we got it about half an hour afterwards. I was actually teaching at the time and I was just like, nah. Fuck you guys, little year nines, play in the traffic, I don't care. And just kind of broke the exam in half with another teacher who was in the exact same boat, and we just smashed that thing out to make sure it was ready for them by the time they got out.
Yeah. And how quickly were we able to get through it?
Oh, I still got it done with about, and again, we kind of broke it into chunks to divide and conquer, but we got it all done with about 10 minutes before the exam was done.
Oh, nice.
So gave them, I guess they get reading time as well. Gave them a 45-minute head start and beat them. Finished 10 minutes to go. Sucked in teens. Get good.
Get better at math. Granted, that's why they're there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that,
so yeah, there's
cool.
that, and otherwise it's just been playing them video games.
How's life over at Player 2? Anything cool going
right.
on over there?
I haven't had that much to do of late. Just thinking about what's going on. Like, finally posted my Rob Davis interview from
Oh, fantastic.
Impact. So just a fleeting pulse went through the Dev Diary podcast feed as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So people should go check out Dev Diary for that one there. Had my review for, and I guess we'll talk about it in the what you've been playing, but Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD, which I wasn't able to talk about last week. I was embargoed into oblivion on that. That's now up, so people can go check that one out on the website as well. But yeah, it's just been kind of plugging away at different games at the moment for the most part when I'm not hard at work.
Mm. Nice. Very nice. I myself... back in the work side of life, which is fantastic, as many will know, I did spend quite a number of weeks, better part of 2 months, without work. Now that I've returned, you know, had my return from Perth, which was sort of really awkward timing to start new jobs, but since then I've now kicked in a gear. My week's starting to fill up with hours, whether it be in my day job, one of my day jobs, which is the working as a community worker, or I've now joined the team at JB Hi-Fi in Geelong. So I've become a retail worker in the age, in the ripe old age of 35, which is fun.
Whatever gets the dollars coming in the door, mate.
And that's pretty much like where it's at, right? Now, it does have some advantages. Like when I went and picked up another controller this week, it was one of those things like, did you pay this in full? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, weird. So then they canceled the order, redid it, gave me staff discount, saved about $30.
Nice.
So that's
another controller.
Yeah. Now, the reason I'm not mentioning it is because my kid has been listening to the show lately and I don't want to spoil it for him.
Moving right along.
Yeah, pretty much. You'll know what it was, the only other controller that came out last week. Outside of that, when I haven't been working, this weekend I had a big weekend of wrestling, as I tend to do occasionally throughout the year, which is weirdly happening more frequently. And I'm not entirely the big fan of it becoming more of a frequent thing. Sorry, but of having multiple shows over a weekend. So this week we had a show on Saturday, show on Sunday, afternoon shows, big outside at the Werribee Racecourse. They were some deathmatch shows, so they were super ultra violent stuff, which was really fun. I really enjoyed. I do like though these ones because I do get to see a lot of my friends and I get to have fun on commentary and see our mutual friend Hawko, who recommended me a game recently that I purchased, haven't played yet. It was called Not for Broadcast or something.
That sounds like something. I have no idea what the game is, but just the name convention alone sounds like something he'd recommend.
Yeah, it's a weird, like...
Give you, like, Arvi there yet or some sort of...
Oh, no, it hasn't mentioned that yet, but it is kind of this interesting-looking, like, FMB sort of game where you've got to, like, you're running the control booth in, like, in a TV station, and you've got to pick and choose when you switch things. So, like, something gnarly happens. Like, you've got a directive in front of you that's, like, cut to these things, so you kind of do it, but then I think it seems like shenanigans and shoes got this real kind of like dark underbelly. I haven't messed with it yet, but that was really fun. A lot of cool international talents that I got to meet, which, you know, I said for most people that don't follow deathmatch, it means absolutely nothing. But in our world, like, oh, these are really cool people to meet. Like, I don't get starstruck because I'm not in the world deep enough that I'm like, oh my God, that's this person. I'm like, oh, it's that person. Hey man, how you doing? And it turns out they're really lovely. I'm like, awesome. That makes it easier. But one of the things I did do this week, and I want to talk about it mostly because it's been literally rattling around in my head ever since we saw it. So last night after I returned from the wrestling, we put on the movie Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What a awesome,
I haven't seen
awesome
it,
but... fucking movie. So
I've only heard good things.
Yeah, so it stars Nicholas Holt. He plays this character, like, and then also... Skarsgård, I forget which one, the guy that was in It plays Count Orlok, or in this case Nosferatu. He has this very interesting decision that they've made. Rather than sort of having him feel and look like, you know, Dracula's or Nosferatu's we've seen in the past, they've kind of gone something more in line with what would be that, you know, the folklore of the area. They've made him look like this Transylvanian Slavic sort of warlord. Big sort of unit of a dude, big, you know, mustache. He's just like, his silhouette is just fucking daunting. And then throughout that, like, they mix his audio in such a way that his voice, when you hear it, it's really kind of like deep and low and resonant, but it's kind of mixed, so it engulfs you. Like, you feel it coming from in front of you, but it takes up all of your surrounds. So it doesn't feel like it's in your head, but it feels like it's front, center, and like completely engulfing. So
you're going all Hellblade on you.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's really, really cool energy. And Lily Rose Depp, who, you know, Johnny Depp's daughter, is in it. She plays the main female lead, and she's fantastic in it. But like, it's really interesting how they've consciously taken intentional decisions to make it look like, you know, the movies of 1992, like 1922, I should say, where the original Nosferatu was made. A lot of practical model sort of shots, really, you know, interesting use of shadows, like that, you know, the stereotypical sort of like shadow trope shit.
That's still
in there. That still happens. But man, I highly recommend it. If anyone wants to check it out, I would totally, totally suggest you go. It looks cool. It's on Netflix.
Streaming service on Netflix. There we go.
Yeah. But it's about just over 2 hours. It's a lot. It's very ambient, very quiet. It is shot remarkably. It was one of those things like, I feel like watching a movie. Because the night before we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer. Because it turns out I had never seen that movie in full, which is insane. And Phoebe's like, but you love Scary Movie. I'm like, I know. And like, I saw Scary Movie before I ever saw Scream, which, you know, there's such a big part of Scary Movie. And the other part, big part of Scary Movie is I Know What You Did Last Summer. So I was genuinely taken aback. I'm like, how the hell have I never, like, now that I've watched it in full, I'm like, yeah, no, I've never seen this. And it was really, really good. Like, it's because there's a couple of moments of like, you know, good, you know, strong violence, like, you know, those cheap kills that you sort of see in these movies. But a majority of it was just atmospheric sort of tension between people.
Which is not what I'd associate with it. So that's interesting.
Yeah, which makes it more fun. Because, like, I think especially in these days where, like, slasher movies are so frequent, especially off the back of series like The Terrifier with Art the Clown, where, and, like, even Saw got later on in their movies, it just became all about that excessive violence. And, you know, gore, which is interesting, you know, as someone who literally just spent the entire weekend at fucking hardcore ultra-violent wrestling. But because I know that's fake, and they're my friends, and I know how they gimmick it, so, like, no one's really going to get hurt. But with these movies, they are consciously making the effort for it to look super real. I'm like, And, like, it's one of those things where I've done too much therapy, and I've taught myself enough empathy to be like, that's a person. That's a person. It's not nice that they're being hacked to bits with this axe. It's horrifying. Disgusting.
Won't somebody please think of the
come on, please think of the person. But yeah, so really cool movie, actually. I'm glad Phoebe was like, we should watch this. I was like, yeah, you know what? It's a good choice. I'll take it. But
I've already added Nosferatu to my watch list now on Netflix.
Oh, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Didn't realize it was on there, so.
Yeah. But look, when I'm not occasionally watching movies, one of the things I like to do, I know you like to do the same as well, Paul, is play games. So the question is, what have you been playing this week?
Well, yeah, kind of showed my hand a little bit there. Dragon Quest has obviously been the big one for the last couple of weeks now because I've been embargoed on that one. I can finally talk about that one.
Well, feel free to chat about it. Because
2 HD remaster. 2 HD 2D, sorry.
Yeah, one and 2 HD remake or something.
So
Max has access to it as well. We've been kindly provided a review code here as well. Your code for...
He's been whinging and bitching about it all weekend.
Oh, wait, no, we haven't. No, we got Tales Exil... We have a different one.
What platform do I play it on? What sequence do I play the games on? Oh, some dickhead YouTuber says you need to play them 3, then 2, then 1. Fucking hell, Max.
Sorry, I lie. I take that back. There was a different game we received. We haven't received it yet.
Yeah, you got
but
Tales.
It is on the cards. So I guess, yeah, we'll be able to hear from Max in the near future. But for yourself...
I'm sure we'll hear from him in the chat now that I've just put on that dodgy voice.
You did nail it pretty well. But so what is, like, obviously Dragon Quest is up there as one of, like, the most known sort of JRPG series, really.
Yeah.
So give us a bit of understanding for those like myself who may be a bit of a complete no understanding newcomer to Dragon Quest.
I mean, Dragon Quest 1, the original one, is ground zero for JRPGs. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's where it begins, essentially. So obviously they took a lot of inspiration from Wizardry and some other RPGs that existed out in the West. But that, like, Dragon Quest was kind of the amalgamation of a bunch of elements there. Mm-hmm. Of course, an infusion of their local flavor. And there you go. Like, that's the birth of the JRPG right there with that game. So, I mean, the thing about this, and like I kind of take the piss out of different dialogue and Max getting all confused and rattled and, you know, whatever. Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake that came out last year is in order of sequentially is the first in the story here. They kind of made one, two was a sequel to that, but then they made allusions and references to this character Erdrick a bunch of times throughout both, and they've kind of basically gone, oh, prequel, let's do it. And they kind of spelled out his story with the third game there. So now they've gone and released them basically in chronological order here, just so that we can, I guess, get that flow properly. Not to mention, there would be countless millions of people who play the Dragon Quest games these days who never played that one. And I'm 100% one of those players where I've played a lot. I kind of came into the franchise with the PS2 game, Journey of the Cursed King, Dragon Quest VIII, and have, you know, been thereabouts ever since. Not that there's been that many. Dragon Quest VIII was on the PS2, 9 was on the DS, 10 is the online one that still hasn't made its way to the West. They were, you know, making this offline version.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where the fuck it is. And then 11, most recently. So they haven't done a lot with the
core. And there's all the side spin-off, like Dragon Quest Builders and stuff. I remember that being a big thing. Builders is
unreal. Also, Phoebe could have a bit of fun with that too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very open. There's a little story to guide. It's kind of Minecraft, but with actual direction.
Oh, also, side, I was also thinking maybe like the 2-point games might be good Phoebe games.
Oh, fuck yes. Yes. That's light fun. You can just jump in and out, as I've done basically all year. But as Mute kind of highlights in the chat, he also obviously the art, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
So the art from Dragon Ball and so many other anime out there that I absolutely don't know, because all I know is Dragon Ball.
Sandlands or whatever as well, I think was one of them.
Oh yeah, that Sandland that came out. That they had a game adaptation last year. But yeah, I mean, look, Dragon Quest is unreal. The first one, short by JRPG standards, you can knock that out in about 10 to 15 hours. You are just one character on your own, which is also very not JRPGs. Mm. But they were kind of learning their craft with that first game. So you can kind of see some of the...
And like back, I
guess the flaws
I heard this week
learn.
That one of the things with the original Dragon Quest is mostly one-on-one battles, because that's all they could really code for at the time.
Yeah, so the first game was all one-on-one encounters, which grew boring pretty quickly for people, because there's just nothing really to spice it up at all. So the second game, you had a larger party. You also had multiple enemies you'd fight at any given point. But also when it comes to this HD 2D remake, the battles, sometimes you get your one-on-ones, but you are going to get multiple enemies to go up against. So they've rebalanced the game to fit in line with that as well. So a little bit of tweaking behind the scenes to improve the experience, even in the stock standard gameplay sense. And there's not a hell of a lot they can do, because this was the most primitive version of Dragon Quest with these first two games. But they did some good things there, in particular with that first game, just to make it a little bit more engaging. The second one is much bigger. That, like, where the first will take 10 to 15 hours, the second will take people 35, 40, 45 hours.
They're starting to get into those crazy like JRPG numbers, you know?
Yeah. And that's for this remake. I think the original release is maybe about 20 hours or so. They actually added quite a bit of content into this one, into the second game.
I should mention, Max has jumped in the chat. Quote, play the game in the chronological order, says to play Red Dead 1 before Red Dead 2. It is true. We both did say that.
We both did say that. And I stand by it. Fuck you, Max. fuck. What a rant. So, yeah, I mean, look, the game's absolutely fantastic. Story is still important to these things, especially because there is this narrative thread that connects all three games together. So I don't want to talk too much about that. For the most part, very traditional JRPG. This probably isn't the sort that I would recommend Phoebe straight out the gate.
Yeah, no, probably a bit dense. Yeah, I like how
something that's a bit more actiony. Everything is now gonna.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the idea that pretty much moving forward, things will mostly be seen through the light. Because like, it has very quickly back in the throughout the years that we've done this, like. You know, there's a Betson game, there's a Max game, there's a Padge game, and I like that now that there's even a Phoebe game. Like, she's just kind of come in for one episode and has so heavily impacted the lore of this show when she's now in active consideration for what games we've played or experienced. That's awesome.
It's not even, like, I don't think, and you two would know it better than I guess, but like, I don't think there's necessarily a Phoebe game yet, right? I think it's just...
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying.
This,
like, we're building
this,
what
a Phoebe
game
is. Is this a safe space to... dip the toe in. Is this, is this the right place to access this type of game, or is it not? And then, as you know, as you kind of gradually build out what she might be interested in. It's really cool.
Well, funny enough, so in the chat, Max does point out, just tell her to play Crash and be done with it. Well, funny you say that.
Native Forest.
Because, oh, fucking, that stupid ass level. that is...
Not that hard. Not that hard. First go.
I love how that's...
Speaking of the lore of this show.
So for those that may be newer to the space, back in the day when For the Players kind of really started and also the streaming started, Padge came around to record some stuff with us, and we were going through, we're playing the Insane Trilogy. I think it just came out, or if not, it was about to come out. And there's a level in Crash.
We streamed it.
Yeah. So there's level in Crash 1 called
Native Forest.
Native Forest. Yeah. The common consensus is this level is like unreasonably hard. Everyone's like, oh man, it's such a hurdle. Like, you're going to get stuck. Padge is like, oh yeah, one go, gets it done. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
I'd never played Crash before that day. It just, that was a drop the mic and get... And
I think it was the first level that you played. I don't think you played any other level. I think, maybe.
Yeah, you might be right, actually.
So funny enough, you mentioned that. So that is one of the games that I reinstalled on the PlayStation this week, was the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. main real reason, I was sort of motivated it from the day hustle. So with my job as a support worker, one of the things I'm helping the company I work for rebuild is a gaming, a kind of a gaming therapy space, very similar to what I used to do. And during that, like, oh, I had to put something on the tally just to sort of, you know, give it the gaming feel for the video, social media stuff we were making. And someone was like, oh, well, I'll just put, you know, I like Crash, I'll just put Crash on. I was like, oh, that's a fucking good choice. So as I had a session this week, and I'm working with a client, we've got Crash Bandicoot on one TV, they're playing Tekken 3 over to the side, very proud. I'm watching Crash, I'm like, this game's really good.
How is Crash a therapeutic experience? You don't want to, like, most people want to throw their
that's
control
the point.
Through the screen.
No, but that's
like
the point. It's all about emotional,
understanding. You're just making a smash room.
No, quite. It's the exact opposite, right? It's helping them understand that emotional dysregulation and know when they're getting to that place and helping them sort of understand and comprehend it before they get there. Because if they are someone that is that prone to, like, emotional intensity, like, that will present itself in a non-gaming way at some point in some time, or if not, it already has. So helping them be like, all right, are you feeling it coming? Cool. What can we do to get you back?
Oh, yeah.
It's why we use Overcooked as well. Because it's teamwork, it's communication, and it's frustration tolerance.
Oh, no. Don't bash your teammate's head in with the controller.
Yeah, just don't do that. We can't do that. Just everyone fucking chill for a hot second, all right? So I did boot that back up. I was like, fuck one. Went back into Crash 2, Neo Cortex Strikes Back. Because that was the first one I ever played growing up. And I was like, oh. So, like, booting in, seeing the warp room, and I'm like, oh, man, this is the shit that I remember. As I started going through the level, it was really fun. Just kind of a little bit of a cool way to blow off some steam. I did also re-download, because I want, in terms of my history, and the same as Crash Bandicoot, is kind of this little chink in your history of gaming. For me, one of those is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I've never really played it. So I re-downloaded the collection that came with that and was it Romulus of Blood or something? You know, there's like the two... Rondo of Blood. I don't know where Romulus came from. Rondo of Blood. So I re-downloaded that double pack. And while I was there, because I remember buying that at the same time, I got a code for the Ace Attorney trilogy, like the set. So I re-downloaded that too, because Ace Attorney always seemed really fun, and like when I did play it, I got a good kick out of it. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll bring that back in. You know, why not? But the one game that I probably spent the most amount of time with this week, because I've not really gamed a whole bunch this week, obviously with work, altering my hours, and then obviously ensuring Phoebe had the floor. Actually, I say that like I'm being all kind and considerate. She's like, I'm playing Yota. I'm like, yes, ma'am.
Okay, boss.
I'm like, yes, boss. Yeah. So when I have chosen to sort of sit at the PlayStation, I reinstalled and actually properly sat with Power Wash Simulator. because Power Wash Simulator 2 came out, well, it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I was like, you know what? I'm quite keen for 2, but I've never really gave 1 that real proper sit-down time. So I went in, started the campaign, did like the van, went into the backyard. And the next one after that, it was a motorbike. And then the one I did after that, which was the playground. And for those that may not know, Power Wash Simulator is exactly what it sounds like. You go to a location that is unreasonably filthy, then you are required to clean it with a power wash gun. So you use the high pressure water to clean all the gunk off. So the next one I was into was a playground. And for whatever reason, apparently this playground was caught in fucking floodwaters. Because within the controller scheme, there is a button that you can press that allows you to see the dirt, quote unquote. So for any reason, if you're like, I think I've missed some parts, where have I missed? You press a button, they glow orange, you go, okay, cool.
Yeah, it lights up.
Yeah, so it allows you to go and clean them off, right? This playground, because everything in this fenced area is something you have to clean, I was like, oh, let's see what I have to do. And just this bright fucking, like, you know in Silent Hill 2 when you like save and you just get that red light blasting your face holes?
I don't, because I still haven't played Silent Hill
2
yet.
That is insane. But
working on F. I'm working on F.
True. Like I press the button and this is just orange glow just hums at my face. I'm like, all right, the answer is to shoot water everywhere and clean whatever's in front of me. Like, it's going to be gnarly. And it's been really quite therapeutic, like, you know, as I imagine.
It's a really nice cathartic experience.
It is. I say it's really quite a therapeutic experience. I've been sitting there just listening to a podcast, listening to some like YouTube video essays, and just hosing shit down. And I really quite enjoyed it, which is really fun. Because like today I was meant to clean Phoebe's car, but I really didn't pay attention to time properly. And then I had to leave for the wrestle. So tomorrow, before my work shift, I'll take Phoebe's car down to the car wash and I'll get to pressure wash her car. So I'm like, I get to take, you know, the game into the outside world, which will be exciting.
Do you need me to send you a little email address?
Oh, I had an email address and I filled out the form that was in it.
Props to Dead Good Media who provided me Power Wash Sim 2. Like, I'm going to be playing it a bit this week. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I got an email, I think it was through Stride or something, that was like, hey, fill out this form. I was like, okay. I did it ages ago when they first sent them out, and I did it again like last week, and I still haven't heard anything back, so I assume I'm not going to make the cut, and that's okay. So I'm not too mad about that at all. I'll happily play through 1 instead. But that has been really fun. I've enjoyed that. Let me do a quick check. Was there anything outside of Dragon Quest that you had been... Oh, Dead Good. Dead Good, yeah.
Dispatch.
Oh yeah, so you jumped into that last week.
Fuck, that game's so good.
So where's it gone to now? Not spoilers, obviously, but how's it altered?
Yeah, I think as we spoke about last week, there's 8 episodes in this thing. They've now dropped the first 4. Episodes 5 and 6 will launch sometime this week. They're all about 45 to an hour long so far. So like genuine like TV length sort of episodes, yep. which is nice because you can sit down and, you know, go, I got an hour, it'll be done in an hour. I'm loving where this is going. You're starting to see the choice and consequence and the responses for the different actions. You're picking between potential love interests. I'm trying to make sure, that I don't wade too heavily into spoilers here. One of the cool things about this game is they've got this. So the whole thing, like Dispatch, is that you go and work at this superhero dispatch center, essentially, where you will send, cat stuck in a tree, go send your hero off to go save the cat, or there's a break in here, go deal with this. And so you've got a group of, what is it, maybe 6 or 7 different superheroes my Z group. That's how shit they are, they're the Z team. They are mostly actually kind of villains that are in some way trying to reform, trying to get themselves back on the right path. And so they've got all their own flaws and problems and but you'll go send them off, and they've all got different strength. They might be high in vigor stat, or they might be high in strength, they might be high in charisma, or whatever. And so, depending on the problem that needs solving, you'll pick the superhero that you send down on, or combination of superheroes that you'll send on it to try and resolve that one. And it doesn't actually indicate whether you're successful or not until you get to the very end. The hero returns back to the hideout, the base, whatever.
Yep. And dispatch center, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, the dispatch center. Yeah. And I keep struggling to describe this. I've been trying to describe it on Passion. I can't for the life of me work out what I would call this thing. But like, you've got each corner of the shape there that's got vigor, it's got strength, it's mm-hmm. got charisma, whatever it happens to be. And a bit like Pokemon, for those who are aware, where like the different stats all stretch out in the different
like directions. Those star chart sort of things almost.
Yeah,
right?
Like those star charty style things. And I'm thinking
like Death Stranding. Oh, we even played Death Stranding.
My bad.
No, because I was like, oh, that's the most immediate example I could think of. But yeah, it doesn't help.
It stretches out in the different directions based on the way you've leveled up the different skills. And then there's a combined version for the multiple superheroes you might send out. There's your combined thing, but also the requirements of the specific mission.
Mm.
And if those two different maps kind of overlay, great, 100% chance of completing the mission, no issues. But if there's any imperfections and it doesn't quite overlay, there's a chance that you might still fail the mission.
Mm.
And so you want to try and select the right party to go out that is going to maximize. And they will kind of outline some elements to the mission so you can try and pick through and go, oh, I think I'm going to need someone who's a good talker here. I'm going to need someone who can bash up this goon or whatever it happens to be. But if you get it wrong or you're kind of 50-50, there is a chance that you just fail the mission. And there's basically like this little ball that pings around within the space. And if it happens to land within the safe section, great. Pass the mission. If not, so there's an RNG component to it, okay. Essentially. But it is based upon the choices you've made. So you create the problem.
Ah, because I was going to say, like, yeah, from a gameplay setup, like, knowing that this is a Telltale-esque experience, you know, they are known for their minimal gameplay. It's mostly about, like, social choices. So that yeah, good clarification on that. I appreciate that, because I was kind of curious.
It is based on who you've sent out and how that thing overlays. So you could go with someone who's a perfect fit. Awesome. You could also choose two people who really don't make any sense at all, and you've created that problem for yourself.
Kind of makes me think of...
And then there's the element of luck that just gets tucked in there a little bit as well.
Kind of makes me think of, like, This Is the Police. Did you ever play that?
No, I didn't. I got as far as installing it, and then it never happened.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that is the way it works. Is you're a cop at the end of end of retirement. You know, you run this precinct, and you've got X amount of days to achieve. get everything needs to be good by this day, so you can retire square.
Yeah.
And so each day you kind of have a list of officers down the bottom, and they have varying star strengths depending on like what cases they work and how they go. So, yeah, and then you're like, oh, this match, like, this crime is pretty intense. I probably should send my best guys to it. And then it will, like, you still get to make choices, like, when they arrive at the house. Like, do we go through the front door? Do we go around the side? Do we ring the doorbell? Do we break the front door in? And then that alters their, like, star rating in there.
Yeah, and I how think they there's work. So
it sounds
there,
similar.
Sure.
But not In probably in concept, maybe not so much delivery by the sounds.
Yeah. The relationships also that get formed between you and the characters, but also between the different members of the team also create issues. There's this whole, and I think it was all very deliberate, but like they're all kind of fucking around at the beginning of the second or third episode. And and I don't mean fucking around as in like playing fun, like they're all just losing their shit at you.
Okay.
Which leads to eventually, without spoiling too much, like it leads to a kind of a meeting where we try and course correct things. But before that, they are just completely off the rails. They're not collaborating together. You try to send two people out on the mission and one just goes, nah, fuck you, and doesn't want to do it. Wow. And so they just won't do it. And then the mission fails. You've got like they sabotage each other. And and this is all linked in with the broader narrative that's going on that then impacts this one particular gameplay.
It kind of feels like...
It's kind of cool. It's really, really cool.
You're kind of playing, in The Boys, you're playing Vought, right? Like the company that goes, all right, well, we need to send in fucking Homelander over there. We'll send fucking What's-A-Face over there. Have you watched The Boys? Nope, nah. That's fine.
I'm a shocker for all your references tonight.
That's fine.
But... but that said, what you're describing does kind of sound right. But yeah, then they kind of, depending on the narrative, where the story's at, they kind of get in each other's way. I've had to sack someone, and I'm sure that's going to come back to bite me at some point. You had to, like, here's two people. These are the two lowest ranked people. You got to choose. And I chose one. She was pretty pissed.
Yes, you've made yourself a super villain by the sounds.
I've made myself a super villain potentially. So, but it's all a really fascinating story. Like I said, two more weeks of episodes to go, so expect me to talk about it again next week and the week after at the very, very least. But I highly, highly encourage people to go check out Dispatch. It's, yeah, it's like peak Telltale, and it's made by all of these ex-Telltale people. But it is like golden era Telltale.
Yeah, I did get an email being like, hey, fill out this form. You remember we had a code. And I was like, oh, and then I forgot. So it's still open on my phone. Maybe I'll have to go back.
Mate, yeah, definitely do it. You will not regret it.
All right. Well, one thing I might regret is if show goes a little bit too long. So let's kick into gear. This is the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Matt,
let me protect your voice a little bit.
I'll Max normally goes first. You want to kick it in?
Yeah. The Fat Lady is singing. The chances of any further PlayStation the concert dates going ahead next year as the... Hang on. Oh, yeah. Sorry. There we go. I was trying to pick through Max's wording. Going ahead next year as the tour is set to hit the USA seem increasingly unlikely. It's been noticed that a further 11 stops on the USA leg of the World Tour have now been cancelled, with Ticketmaster no longer listing them as up for purchase. Only a few cities are left in the Ticketmaster search that allow you to find tickets, while the rest listed are cancelled. What's more, VGC has spotted that the official webpage for the PlayStation gig has now been taken down, with a link directing to a 404 error page. This follows on from the constant cancellations across Europe and the USA for the rest of the year. Sony is yet to comment on the situation.
So the Sydney show is apparently still happening, and it's kind of around the corner, as from what I understand, because that did sell out. I believe.
Okay, good.
I forget where they're playing. I don't know. My default response is I think they're playing the Opera House, but I don't think they are.
And I'm going to take a bit of a look into
Yeah, quiz. But this is an interesting thing. So, like, from where I'm sitting, my immediate thought when... Because we were, you know, we obviously got the email about it back in the day, as everyone else get notified about it. They're like, hey, this is a thing that's happening. It's called the PlayStation Concert. My immediate thought was, oh, man, wouldn't this be awesome? This would be a really cool thing to experience. And then when it was coming time to look at tickets... I had one of those moments of, okay, so it's in Sydney. That's going to be a travel edition, right? That's a hurdle. Let's think about it. What songs are they going to play that I'm actually going to give a shit about, right?
And that's the thing. Like, it's kind of, you feel like, oh, it's just the main themes of a few songs. Like, I can certainly picture a few iconic tracks from God of War and The Last of Us.
Yeah. So, and then
I start to go, oof.
And even then, Bear McCreary did a tour himself recently where he played a bunch of things, including his God of War music. So, like, for me, I think of my immediate thought is the opening song for, you know, God of War, like that, you know, that kind of that real looming baritone.
Maybe they'll get Hosier out to do Blood on the Snow as well, but, like, they're not.
No.
Spoilers, they won't.
But even then, like that, or maybe if they bring Death Stranding into it, like some of the... you know, the sounds of Death Stranding. But even then, Death Stranding's predominantly, like, the things that stick out to me are the soundtrack.
It is,
like,
at the Opera House too, by the way.
Oh, it is Opera House. Fantastic. I did remember correctly.
That's referencing the Death Stranding live concert.
There's a lot of info here. Well, see, there's not that as well, right? Like, maybe Death Stranding would be part of it. Nah, because they just did their own thing, right? So then that leaves, what is it, Gustavo does Last of Us, little, you know, the little fancy pants guitar. Cool. There's one song. And, like, so even for the hardest of the hardcore, I don't see the greater appeal. And that, I think that in itself makes it difficult. And
they needed to simply, like, they're leading so heavily with, here's our IP, The Last of Us, Horizon, Ghost of Tsushima, God of War. But really they needed to do, like, and have that stuff, of course. Like, it's your bread and butter, no worries. But also fold in some Final Fantasy VII, because that's, you know, tightly associated. Fold in Metal Gear. Fold in, like, get these other IP that are well noted, you know, for their history on PlayStation. Fold them in and make them a part of it. So you're going to attract the Final Fantasy crowd. You're going to go get the Metal Gear fan. You're going to go and get, you know, whoever it happens to be.
Or even if we're here in Australia, you get Mick Gordon, get him to come and do a couple of Doom tunes.
Do something from Doom.
I'd fucking and, explode.
You know, lose your shit in the process because, fuck Bethesda.
Yeah, fuck, nah. But, fuck them, I guess. But, yeah, so I guess that's kind of the major hurdle is, like, yeah, the potential track list, I guess, seems weirdly limited. especially if they want the pops and the feels and the energies, because I would confidently say they're going to have something playing like on the screen behind the orchestra, sort of giving you the feel of it. So like if they were to do something like Tsushima or Yotai, that would be really sick, because some good Shamishin? Whatever that guitar thingy that, you know.
Shamishin, yeah.
Yeah, that what's-her-face fucking Yari, whatever her name is, shreds. That'd be pretty cool. But even then, like, outside of like the theme of Ghost of Yotai, like, and this is interesting. So like, and I keep saying like a lot, I'm trying to process my thought out loud.
While you're trying to do that, I think the thing I'll note about the music for most of the games, they do have their main themes and they're bangers. But then so much of the, and this is a compliment at the end of the day, because you hear this from film, you know, composers for film all the time, is that some of the best music is the stuff that you don't notice.
Yeah, because you feel it instead.
Blends in. It's actually just all part of the whole thing that actually elevates whatever else is being visually depicted, rather than being the standout. And I think the music is absolutely incredible from a whole host of these different games that we've mentioned. But I can't sit back and go, "Oh, I remember track 6 from The Last of Us's soundtrack."
And like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure if you and I were to go, as an example, and we were to sit there, I'm sure like we'd be like, "Oh my god, I remember this."
Swinging Hands.
Like, "Oh, yeah. I remember this." Oh, but like, if you were to give me a list of all the songs they played, I'm like, "I don't know, whatever."
Yeah, probably.
And I think that's the hardest part. Like, obviously here in Australia, like only having one show, it sold out pretty quickly. But if you're doing, you know, a full tour of shows in say the US, and now that, you know, an additional, this isn't the first set, this is an additional 11 shows have been cancelled. Like, that's not good. Which is interesting. Well, I keep using the word interesting as well, which is fascinating to consider that things like Final Fantasy, as Max in the chat mentioned, Distant Worlds is potentially coming soon with Final Fantasy. You know, there is success in these shows. Like, video game music is huge, but
the Final Fantasy one
not
has
like
been
this,
out
I guess.
So many times, it's amazing.
It's interesting.
I also like Puck's comment there, just saying, "Troll people, play the Halo theme."
Hey, well, look, it's on PlayStation now. You can totally do it. You get away with it.
Yep, justify it.
Because they didn't specify. Oh, we're only playing first party. They're like, no, we're playing PlayStation songs. Speaking of PlayStation, though, Naughty Dog, one of the big tentpole studios to come out of PlayStation First Party Studios. This one's called Beam Me Up from Max. Naughty Dog is currently deep in development on its next big action-adventure game, Intergalactic the Heretic Prophet, and it seems things are moving along nicely, which is good. When the sci-fi title was announced back at the Game Awards 2024, there was no release window attached, so we still don't really know when it's coming. However, what is interesting is a fresh batch of job advertisements for the studio, all to do with the quality assurance and localization. These are roles that normally happen towards the end of the development cycle, because you need to sort of have a lock on the story and the characters and the world and the moments to really build on that side. Yep. So these job ads have found their way onto social media, and of course, we're speculating that hiring for positions like this means Intergalactic is nearing the end of development, so we could be further along than we think. Padge, do you believe that this is a sign that we'll be getting Intergalactic in the next 12 months? Is it a 2026 game?
Nah, I still think 2027. And we spoke about this, I think, when you came on Patched a while back. My theory is that we've got, and now we've obviously got some dates in here as well, but at the time I was talking about, okay, Saros is your first third, Tokon Fighting Souls is the middle of the year, and then you got Wolverine to wrap it up. I think they're the big three for the year.
Maybe so it would likely be Q1 or maybe middle of the year.
2D thing might pop somewhere along the way, whether that's at the very end of this year or sometime next year. But as far as like the big tent poles are concerned, I think they're the three.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you through the year. And then, I don't see a scenario where Intergalactic is like first half of the year. And so then
it does have that end of year like impact, you know, that October window, right? Or possibly even that very similar to Naughty Dog's previous release with Last of Us Part 2 back in 2020, that was around July, around that E3 time. Yeah. So it wouldn't hurt to
and
drop
it in
there
they
again.
Need to, yeah, and I just don't think they need to go anywhere near the October period this year because Wolverine's got it.
Yeah.
Like that's your summer blockbuster. They're done. They're fine.
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat. Like knowing how dense most games seem to be these days, whether it be the stories themselves. Even if we think about something like The Last of Us Part 2, there is likely going to be a lot of dialogue that needs to be localized, that needs to be redone. So, like, even if it's localized, it then has to then be voice acted, right?
Yep.
So this is, like, yes, the steps towards the ending of all of this. But as you said, like, it would make sense for this to still be a year and a half away. Like, you know, in order to get all the voice actors done, do all the written stuff, make sure it makes sense. All the other ones that was mentioned, quality assurance. Quality assurance is something you should be doing all the way through.
That's an ongoing thing.
But it does ramp up as you start getting closer into either beta and or semi-final builds. So either particular sections or levels or whatever, whoever the game is choosing to be broken up. So I would agree that it does show that it is on its way to being in its final stages.
Yeah, 2026 will be the run towards the finish, but then it'll be launching in 2027.
Yeah, we're in our third act, right? Like, we're past 66% of the development cycle, and this is where they start closing stuff up, you know, making things pretty, adding a little bit here and there. Like, that's my assumption. And this is coming from someone who has zero understanding of the game development cycle or process. I'm trying to think about it in, like, a business trajectory sort of way.
And also, like, just, you know, on the localization part of it, you can also have localization for demos. And so if they're at that point of that development, well, they're going to start some of the localization, some of the VO for other regions, because you're going to be previewing this game for press and influencers at different stages at different points around the world.
Absolutely.
So I think you need that too. So I'm not going to get too carried away with it. And also, just on a purely selfish side, for reasons that we haven't discussed publicly on the show, if they can, like, not release the game in 2026, your brother would be really appreciative.
Yeah, it's going to be busy. And then, of course, like, GTA 6 is going to consume almost everything in its sight.
I wasn't even talking games. I was talking purely selfishly with a certain project I'm working on.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes, very much so. Just push it back a little bit. Wouldn't hurt. Just
give me 2027 to be just put it out then.
Unless you want to do a big, like, addendum, you know, later down the line. We'll wait and see. But... That sounds nasty. We don't want to do any of that. But what we do want to do is get into the next piece of news.
Don't get over here.
Oh.
Very nice, Max. Sony has ruled itself out as one of the companies interested in acquiring Warner Brothers after it essentially put itself up for sale. Last week, Warner Brothers revealed it has initiated a review of strategic alternatives to maximize shareholder value. The quote came after rumors of bids for the firm. From a video game perspective, a successful takeover from Sony would hand it the keys to franchises like Mortal Kombat, Batman Arkham, Hogwarts Legacy, and more. Sony says it's not interested in an acquisition. However, speaking to Nikkei, Sony CEO Hiroki Totoki, Literature Club, said, right now, we don't want to do a big Hollywood M&A deal. We want to build a solid base in our strengths of anime and games, which is a nice, refreshing comment considering some other, you know, purchases they've made recently where they didn't work with them in a long ongoing basis and it blew up in their face. Totoki focuses his thoughts on the animated movie and TV business as he considers what an acquisition of Warner Brothers would look like, commenting that Sony is looking at growth markets rather than sheer profitability. The global market for anime is just dawning right now and will continue to grow by double digits for a while. Fucking weebs. Aniplex, a Sony subsidiary, produces some of the biggest anime releases in the modern era. Max, I don't need this fucking anime bullshit at the end. Get that crap out of here. Stop trying to convince us. You're not winning us over, Max. Anyway, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Infinity Castle. Like, they're just throwing words together in a sentence.
That's how most sentences work, Pads. Just putting it out there.
Sorry, disconnected and irrelevant words.
Thank you.
Anyway. Has also seen Sony acquire stakes in Kadokawa and Bandai Namco. There have been several rumors in the year that Sony has been seeking Warner Brothers gaming IPs.
Reverend Puck in the chat, stop trying to make anime happen.
This is not to be the case. Yeah, stop trying to make anime happen. Fuck that shit off. But anyway, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Good. Mm. I'm glad they're not going there. As I kind of alluded to along the way, and we've both spoken about this, and I think we share the same belief here that the partnerships that have worked best for Sony over the years, over many years, over decades now, have been the ones that they've nurtured, and they've dated before putting a ring on it. And those largely, where that's not been the case, where they've just jumped into something, Bungie and a range of others, they're not going so well.
Yeah. And so this purchase
take
as well.
Your time. You're not gonna do that in the case of Warner Brothers, so don't.
The additional difficulty here is, from my understanding, this purchase is it WB at large? It's not even just their gaming division. It is
no, it'd be the games division. I think like they're looking to sell off the games division.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I know Warner Brothers aren't doing all that well in general. So from a gaming division standpoint, it does give you some pretty notable IP. Obviously, the DC arm of it all with Rocksteady is pretty huge. You'll have Mortal Kombat with NetherRealms. You'll have Portkey Games. You get the Hogwarts Legacy.
I don't even think Lego. That's a guarantee, though, because like you're not getting WB. You're getting WB Games. So you're going to have to go and license Harry Potter. You're going to have to go and license.
Oh, but I mean, like, you have access to those licenses, however, right? So like, there seems to be a relate.
Like, you'd still probably have to go and ask permission, right? Like, you're buying WB Games. They're no longer going to be WB Games. They're just going to be some arm. You're not going to call them WB Games anymore. They're going to be an arm of PlayStation. And you're going to have to go to WB and say, hey, we've got the team here. And they're probably going to say yes. They're probably going to play ball because these teams have proven. Like, you wouldn't say no to what's their name? What's the team that did Hogwarts?
Porky Games.
Avalanche?
Avalanche,
thank you. You're not going to say no to Avalanche because look what they just did. Mm. But at the same time, they would actually have to go and engage in a business arrangement.
You have a very
WB
good point.
At large will still own the DC license. They will still own the film and like media, visual media based license for Harry Potter and all those sorts of things. Like PlayStation would have to come to them. You're just getting the teams, and is that really worth it? Then when you take the IP away in a lot of these cases, not really.
You bring up a really
WB
good point.
What's WB Montreal going to offer without the IP?
Because it's something like my immediate assumption was that if you're buying WB Games, like yes, you get the teams, that's a given, but additionally you would get the licenses or access to the licenses that you've had before. Now, yeah, you've really made me think about it.
And also, and let's just
because my immediate thought goes,
even if they did, or even if it all happened and they suddenly got really buddy buddy with WB and WB goes, yeah, sure, no worries, have Batman. How's that going to go with your Marvel relationship?
Very true.
We've got Insomniac and working on multiple Marvel IP. You've also got Tokon Fighting Souls, which is not being developed in-house, but it's exclusive and it's a partnership with Marvel. I don't see this ever happening.
Yeah, so because my immediate consideration was that you would get the licenses and therefore the games available to them, right? But Max in the chat does confirm it was Warner Brothers Discovery, so you get the whole shebang. So that does change things slightly. So following on what you said, the thought that you put me on was around the idea of, oh, if it's just that and you don't get the license, you just get the teams, then wouldn't that therefore incentivize WB as a larger entity to shift off those licenses? Because like right now, we have WB Games, why would we give the license over here? Where now they're like, well, if we've sold off the games and we have nothing but the licenses, why don't we then go to a team somewhere that could deliver something really incredible? You know what I mean? So like maybe get Lord of the Rings into somebody that could really fuck with it, right? I know. But if it is it is a purchase of everything, if it is all of Warner Brothers Discovery, Sony then needs to consider it from a greater than gaming side. You would get access to all the movies as well, various the licenses that we've just mentioned, which would increase the portfolio of Sony Pictures. But then
apparently Netflix wants to have a crack.
I imagine they would. It would make sense, because like back to the gaming thing, my main thought was like, yeah, like Telltale, which everyone was like, when Telltale started going under, like, could someone go save them? It's like, well, no, because Telltale itself has nothing. They are only as good as the licenses that they were able to work within. And once the licenses are taken away, Telltale's got nothing. And I imagine WB Games...
Wolf 2 is coming.
Eventually, I guess. But like WB Games as a sole entity, it does have that very similar feel. But if it is everything, you then have the license. And you could, so if PlayStation, as an example, as Sony were to purchase this and bring WB Games into PlayStation, it would be inorganic growth, which doesn't align with what PlayStation is wanting to do, or even what the recent comments from the C-suite have mentioned. They're like, no, we're going to focus on growth, like internal growth developments instead. But yeah, so you get that inorganic growth, which doesn't help you.
They can keep away from it.
In the chat, what studio that saved High Rhythm? High Fire Rush was the game. The team was Tango Gameworks. They were picked up by someone. I forget who brought Tango. But
the Korean.
Yeah. Hot damn. But yeah, it seems cool.
Craft them.
There you go. Because like PlayStation, yeah, they're like, well, we have the licenses to these. Wouldn't it be cool if we could put this team onto this license? But then again, in that same thought, everyone's like, man, Insomniac needs to get away from Marvel. And wouldn't this just dig that hole deeper?
I don't know. Like, if somehow Sony actually got Warner Brothers, that would actually probably drive a wedge.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And then we just get Insomniac making Batman games instead of Spider-Man games.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, sometimes... Hang on, wait. Nope. Okay, cool. We're all right. Because the title of this one is not the Kingdom Hearts one. I was like, oh man, do I get to shit on Kingdom Hearts for a hot second? No.
What a shame.
What a shame. Instead, Sony's anime subsidiary Aniplex. Why does it keep getting a fucking weeb shit? Is one of several major Max. Content Overseas Distribution Association, or CODA, members who requested the organization write to OpenAI about the unauthorized training of its content by video generator Sora 2. Sora 2 allows users to write prompts in order to create short videos and animations with the output trained on existing works, so any sort of generative AI platform.
Quick pause before you continue. Max just in the chat to go and say, you don't like the news, then you do it, fuckers.
That's also true. He does bring up a very good point. I don't want to, so I'll take it. Sora 2 allows users to write prompts, thus sparking the copyright conversation. The body claims it's, quote, confirmed a large portion of content produced by Sora 2 closely resembles Japanese content or images, end quote. And that it, quote, considers the act of replication during the machine learning process may constitute copyright infringement, end quote. The association notes that Sora 2 adopts an opt-out system based on requests from copyright holders, but points out that in Japan, prior permission is generally required for use of copyrighted works. It's thus requested that CODA members' content is not, quote, used for machine learning without their permission, and that OpenAI elaborates on how its copyright materials have been used thus far. It is also worth noting that CODA's members include giants of the anime industry, such as Sony's Aniplex, as well as Bandai Namco, Studio Ghibli, Square Enix, Kadokawa, Shueisha, and many others. Sony will be particularly frustrated to see its works being used in this way, as it's been investing massively into the anime division as of late, which it sees as a key growth area. Now, Padge, I don't think we've ever spoken about what your stance is around generative AI.
Fuck AI. That's it. I've been quite intrigued and interested by, and I don't know if this is a Sora thing. The Pokemon like documentary
that is absolutely Sora, yeah.
That is like, those are wild. Obviously, some of them look ridiculous, like some of them just aren't even close. But then there's others where you're like, holy shit! The David Attenborough style documentary, 2 minute long. I'm hooked when they appear, but I also hate it.
Mm. Like, I'm in a similar boat. Like, so I've had a very strong stance. I have an issue with generative AI, which is what they're discussing here, the large language model sort of approaches, because they are solely reliant on previous works coming into play. Where, like, computational AI, which is what we experience and see within our video games that we play, that I have no issue with. I think computational AI is great. Like, if we can have games where NPCs can learn and act and be fun and contribute... And work alongside what we bring into the game itself, then sure. But, you know, as Max points out in the chat, you know, Sora 2 has been giving him some great content this last week with the Disney/Pixar film trailers, and he's been sending them to me, and some of them are fucking insane. But, like, they have been able to capture the look and feel of Pixar films very, very quickly. And at the same breath, they have also been using Sora to create insane wrestling matches. They're like, I saw one with, like, Helen Keller fighting Stephen Hawking, which was funny because Helen Keller gets to the top rope, goes to jump forward, and then ends up landing on the announce table because she's deaf, dumb, and blind and didn't know what she was doing. So that was pretty funny. I got a kick out of that. But yeah, most of the time I'm like, AI sucks, but these Pokemon National Geographic things are really cool. But knowing the larger great impact is like, this is kind of insane. And I think it's very difficult. It's difficult enough to legalize anything on it. Oh, sorry, legalize or when I say legalize, I mean having like legalities around something across the entire world, with each country having different cultures and then different understandings and then different laws and what their understandings of those laws are. It is very difficult to do a big catch-all. And Probably, since the invention of the internet in the 90s, we have become this immediate, like, global market for everything. Globalization has been one of the best and worst things we could have ever experienced. And for things like this, this is where it's at its worst. It is very near impossible to control all these entities at the same time and then ensuring that they may remain within the regulatory window or space for each of these companies. Like, I had no idea that, you know, Japan, you know, you have to get permission to then like rip shit off in Japan, because, you know, if I think about, you know, knockoffs and stuff, I think of China, I think of Japan, right? So like, how quickly are they're keen to like fuck with other people's shit, but maybe not theirs. But then again, that could be having a fundamental misunderstanding of how that works within that culture.
You kind of let it off by just asking my thoughts on generative AI. Like, I hate that shit. And so most of my thoughts here really just echo what you've already discussed. Nothing really to add. There is some really entertaining and amusing stuff, but you can still see the soul that's lacking from these things.
Oh, without a doubt.
And the inaccuracies and all that sort of stuff.
But it does feel like that we've have turned a corner in the last like month, and it suddenly has gotten ridiculous. Like, we think back to not even a couple of years ago. Remember that old video of like Will Smith trying to eat spaghetti and it's a fucking hot mess? Where now they can make it look and make it work well, which is really, really bizarre. Speaking of working well, though, we have passed that hour mark about 15 minutes ago. Probably should get this bastard together. So let's head into the quick bits. It's your turn.
All right. The PS5 Pro frame rate options have been added to Metal Gear Solid Delta. Monster Hunter Wilds is doing badly, quote unquote. It's been outsold by Monster Hunter Rise, a 4-plus-year-old release, and Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, so I'll touch upon, like, obviously the first one, neither you, myself, or Max have a PS5 Pro, so we can't really speak to the introduction of these things. Yeah, you have a Pro?
I do have a Pro. PlayStation sent me a Pro the other year.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, my apologies. So, like, I guess for yourself, like, have you played Metal Gear Solid Delta as well?
I have, and I'm not going to be going back. Not because I disliked it, but, like, I'm not going to go back just to check out some Pro stuff. It needs to be, like, make sure it's... And this, I guess, yes, I had the advantage of accessing the game through, like, a code and on a PS5 Pro that was sent to me and all those sorts of things. But, like, I think probably, like a lot of gamers, I'm not going to be rushing to go back to the game if I've already finished it, because you've got to have this stuff there day and date.
Well, that actually allows us to open up a bigger question, right? Because I was under the impression you didn't have one. I'm totally forgot. My apologies. But so, like, have you found there to be such a substantial and noticeable difference between your original PS5 experience and your Pro experience? So, like, all these little tweaks, adds, and updates that they are doing, is it worth it?
Well, again, so like any of the ones that come after the fact, I often don't notice it because I've had my experience and I've moved on. Yeah. And that's that, yeah, to my initial points, like, have it there day one or don't bother. And I know, like, that sounds a little bit, I don't know,
it's
privileged. But the majority of people, like, when it comes to a new release, unless we're talking about, like, a live service game, the majority of people who buy a game and play it do so in the first week that the game is out.
First 2 weeks, if you're lucky.
So, there's plenty of people who will have had their experience and will not return.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether the experience is good or bad.
Well, speaking of good or bad experience, I was going to say with Monster Hunter as well, like, my understanding is this one isn't very good.
It's...
comparatively.
So, it doesn't match up to Rise or even to World before that back in 2018. Sales-wise, the game has still done a very, very good job. But, like, there's a lot of franchises out there that haven't sold as many copies as Monster Hunter Wilds has on its own. But it's at... it's at about 10.5 million copies right now. It's doing pretty well, but it's a long way off.
Isn't that weird how, like, I forget what it was. I think all of Silent Hill has yet to hit 10 mil.
Yeah.
And we're like, this one game, I was like, oh, it's doing badly.
It's doing badly, and it sold 10.5 mil. But for context, like, Rise has sold 17.5 and is now up to 17.8 as of now.
Wow.
It's like, just continuing to truck away. DMC, obviously, was another game being cited there. Like, Wilds, there was just some design issues that I think have made the game has struggled to stick with people. Mm. And that includes myself, who, like, now I was covering the game. I was one of about four of us that were playing the game pre-release, but I wasn't the lead reviewer, so I didn't have to rush. And then 2 Point came out and fucking blew up my whole Q1 and to the point where, like, I haven't gone back to Monster Hunter Wilds, which was the game I anticipated more than any other. And then with the conversation, kind of the stink that it's kind of picked
and
up.
Also, Max still coming through with the facts. He just confirmed that Monster Hunter Wilds is at 29 million.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Jesus.
So... I don't know. Like, it's still a huge success. They'll be already hard at work on a big expansion for it, and that might be the opportunity where that they can kind of refresh a few things, and they'll probably already be on pre-pro for the next one. It's just a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
And, like, it does... it's making it hard for me to actually go back and finish the game that was my most anticipated for this year.
That is a shame. That is an absolute shame.
But I'll do it. I'll do it. It's only a matter of time. But, like, it's just... just a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. Crash is heading to Netflix for an animated adventure.
My immediate thought is probably very similar to the Ratchet and Clank movie, which I still yet to see.
Why?
Yeah, but also why? Like, I think Crash's key timing was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
You maybe could have done something with the release of 4, but that was years ago as well.
Yeah, that was 2021.
Yeah, roundabout.
It was certainly still kind of pandemic-ish time. Yeah, I don't understand this one at all. But that said, there are opportunities for franchises that haven't been seeing a hell of a lot of action in the game realm to still succeed on the big screen, and obviously the success of it. I know that there's a growing number of people that are dissatisfied with the direction that the Witcher TV series is heading in, but, like, season 4 is still doing big numbers. We recently had a Splinter Cell series on Netflix that is apparently quite well received. And that probably just upsets the gamers more than anything else, because fucking give us a Splinter Cell, damn it.
Mm.
It's not a TV series. But, like, so I think there's enough proof in the pudding there that, like, Twisted Metal. We haven't seen one in more than a decade, close to 20 years.
Yeah.
And yet, that series is quite popular. Mm.
In the chat, Max jumps in and goes, well, we have a Sonic cartoon, why not Crash? Well, mostly because Sonic is a voice character. Outside of his one appearance I think he speaks in Skylanders. But up until that point, you know, even then, Crash is probably just, wow! You know what I mean? Like, he just makes noises.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's why. That's what I'm also very curious about, like, how they're going to voice him, how they're going to deliver it. Like, does someone have to interpret for him? Because that's going to make it very annoying. And like, yeah, using Twisted Metal as an example, like I know that the conversation was they were looking at releasing a Twisted Metal alongside the show, but weren't never really able to get it together, which is a bit of a bum. But yeah,
is what it is. And it leads
there's two actually. Even the Sly stuff. Actually, there's also a third one that I just read about as well. I don't know too much about it. I haven't driven into it, but this is something that came out a couple of days ago. Rockstar has been accused of the most ruthless act of union busting in the history of the UK games industry by firing dozens of employees who were all allegedly attempting to form a union. The report from Take-Two Interactive says that all these employees in question were fired for, quote, gross misconduct. But yeah, a big hunk of people fired, but at least the report seems to be the case. This is originally from Jason Schreier, I believe, that mentions,
what?
Yeah.
Jason Schreier talking about unions?
I know, what a twist.
I
think that's something something that'll like will come out more in time as you get more information, but interesting thing to think about over the next week.
Not to mention we had a Hauser brother talking in the last couple of days all about Agent.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Which is something I definitely want to sit and listen to. It was on a podcast. Blowed if I know.
Sometimes it's exciting when games don't come out, but then we get to see little bits of them. It makes it really cool.
Dan Hauser was on the Lex Friedman podcast.
Oh, nice.
God of War, the multiplayer project that was in development at Bluepoint. We had a few screenshots leak almost immediately after we did the show last week, actually.
Big takeaway from all these screenshots.
Stuff. We see some Norse references. We see Hades references. Fuck, what if?
Yeah, so that was sort of the perceived understanding of it, and like some of the information that's came out alongside these screenshots is that with Hades being a sort of predominant character within it, and knowing that Hades gets his shit kicked in 3, like, okay, well, it's before the complete disruption of the Greek pantheon. But where does it sit? How does it fit? But yeah, and then a lot of the imagery is very Norse. Sorry, my apologies, very Greek-based. So the potential speculation of now they're just moving to like the God of War 1 remake.
Use the assets to remake it, please. Bingo, for love
bingo
of God.
Right? Like take advantage of
what
you have.
We've got our controllers. We've got a God of War TV series coming. Come on.
Now's the time. But did anything at any end of the screenshots really like go, ooh, for you? Or is it just kind of like, cool, I know.
Well, no, I mean,
it's
kind of environmental set dressing stuff, right? Like, but it's more just the inference to what direction the game was headed in. That's what we're, you know, the big takeaway from this. And our final quick biddy for the night, this time around. Sorry, I didn't scroll down far enough before. The PS6 may be the only console charging for multiplayer. According to Windows Central, multiplayer will be free on the next Xbox. That's because the next Xbox won't be an Xbox. It's just a PC.
Bingo. And like that's the big thing. As Max speculated about last week, you know, if this...
For multiplayer, what are we talking about?
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I know they have Nintendo Online, but can you simply not play anything online without it?
Yeah, I think you still need... I think so. I think you need to have Nintendo Switch Online to be able to play online.
Yeah, interesting. Well, there you go. Like, yeah, that is something to take into account. But yeah, so Nintendo, I guess Nintendo being a console/handheld hybrid, somewhere in the middle space. But all right, let's get this bad boy out of here.
Max says you need online, but it's $50 a year, so who gives a fuck?
Me, because that should be a much more manageable price than the whatever the fuck everything else is asking. Yeah. So, but look, you know, so sometimes you have to pay for our games to be online. Sometimes you have to pay for our games in general, and that's fine. And these are the games that are coming out this week. On the 3rd of November, we get Devil Jame. J-A-M-E. Is that Devil James? Is that Devil Jane? Jesus Christ, Max. PS5. On the 4th of November, we get 1000X Resist PS5. Oh, Jam. Devil Jam.
Devil Jam.
That's weirder. Football Manager 26 coming to the console on the PS5. Let's Sing 2026 PS5. Satisfactory, which is a cool PC game I've had an eye on for a while, is coming to PS5. The 5th of November, Biped 2, PS5, PS4. The 6th of November, the birthday of this man, me right here. Happy birthday to me on the 6th of November. Honeycomb, The World Beyond, the PS5. Kentum, PS5. Strike Force Heroes, PS5, Siberia Remastered, PS5, Unbeatable, also on PS5. On the 7th of November, we get a pizza delivery on PS5, Anima Gate of Memories 1 and 2 Remastered, and Dark Deity 2. And as it was announced this week, your PS Plus games for the next month of November, you get Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, EA Sports WRC 24, and the former PS Plus Extra title, Stray, is now coming to Essential, so you'll be able to have it for as long as you have your PS Plus prescription. Yes, your prescription.
Your prescription, yeah.
Your subscription.
Took it to my veins.
Yeah, I need my daily PS Plus, I guess. Anything jumping out for you, Patch?
No, and I'm delighted.
Yeah, me too, actually. It just means...
On the Switch 2, you've got Hyrule Warriors coming out this week, which is a good get. I'm definitely keen for some Musou, mashing through some large crowds. We were talking about, you know, cathartic gaming experiences. Slaughtering hundreds of thousands of people in sheer seconds.
Think of the peoples, man.
It's a good feeling.
Think of the people.
They just disappeared. Like, they just slice and dice and disappear. Like,
yeah,
they weren't real peoples.
Oh, those poor peoples. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone for joining, for coming along. We much appreciate it. As a two-man show with Max being out, that is the one advantage that we have of now a threefer. If someone like me is a dickhole and really throws out all the times, we're still able to put a show together. I would have done it solo if I had to, but it worked out well. But anything you need to want to plug before we get out of here?
No, I'm kind of just working through
the unboxing backlog of your videos, I guess.
Go check out the Ghost of Yote thing. You can see the statue before the mask before I broke it.
Yes.
Nice. Or before my dogs and kids broke it.
Damn dogs. Never work with kids and pets, you know, kids and animals.
Yeah. I'm terrified I'm going to drop it. Like, you would hardly know.
But that's the best part of it is, by design, it's meant to look like it's kind of been repaired.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But like, if you're close enough, like, you'll see some little chips in the back here. And,
yeah.
But it's, she's done an amazing job. So props to Mum, who saved the day with that.
Shout out, Mum. How good's Mum?
I'll leave it here. I'll put it away properly later while I was on break. It.
Nice. But yeah, outside of that, let's close this bad boy out. All right. Yeah, we'll leave it there. So this PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to, be sure to join us on the social medias. Our handles are below our faces. On top of that, the general for the players' social media is in the description below. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
And that was For the Players. Man, I need to have a fucking shower so bad. Because I've been in the sun all day. I've got sunscreen ick. And like, sunscreen's always a weird fucking sensory thing to me. And I feel like I've got this coating of just fucking disgusting on me. And I'm very keen to go have a shower.
Bit different, but that's me too, walking in here and throwing AeroGuard on.
Oh yeah, because you're in the springtime in the shed.
So you get a bit like that. It's been a nice warm day. Mozzies will come out, and I'll come back with 500 bites.
The sacrifices that you make to talk about PlayStation. What a legend!
Let me put this fan on. It's fucking hot. Ooh.